From APM, this is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's meet our guest of honor.
All right, and this week it's actor Hank Azaria. He has had a huge career with character roles in films like The Birdcage and TV shows like Ray Donovan, but he is probably best known as the voice behind a slew of characters on The Simpsons, including Mo, Chief Wiggum, and Apu.
His latest TV project finds him back in front of the camera. He stars in Brockmire, a comedy about a disgraced old-school baseball announcer attempting a comeback after a public meltdown goes viral.
Yeah.
Heads up, there are a few beeped words ahead. When I spoke with Hank, I asked him where the idea for Brockmire came from.
Brockmire, Jim Brockmire, who talks like this. This is the generic baseball announcer voice that I grew up with in the 70s, especially. Still exists, but was very prominent in the 70s. So the idea formed over me. I mimicked it as a teenager and got kind of fascinated with it in my 20s. Especially the comedic concept of, do these guys always sound like this?
Uh-huh.
So they've, not only when they're broadcasting, but when they go home and have dinner and argue with the wife or have sex with the girlfriend.
Yeah.
as they say in Goodfellas, right? Saturday nights are for the wives, Friday nights are for the guma, as Johnson swings and misses a breaking ball down low and away.
Well, that's the thing. They always, as long as you call the game, everything is a forgivable, right?
Harry Shearer pointed that out to me at The Simpsons many years ago. He was a brilliant Vin Scully. Brilliant. In fact, the Vin Scully you hear, I think it's episode 6 of Brockmire, young Brockmire as a child is listening to Vin Scully.
Yeah.
That's Harry.
No way.
You cannot.
Imitating Vin Scully, yeah, the great Dodgers announcer.
Yeah. Yes. You can't tell the difference
between
Harry and Vin Scully if you close your eyes. Harry pointed out that these guys can say anything they like if they give the count afterwards.
Yeah.
And I thought that, let's stretch that concept to the max.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what if he freaked out
in
like an alcoholic blackout drunk, disgraced himself, but still sounded like this was a ditter, still had the illusion of control.
Completely.
This voice, if nothing else, seems utterly controlled. To me, it's like the vocal equivalent of typeface or something. It's completely generic. It's the vanilla ice cream of voices.
As polished as the voice is, these guys would have 3 or 4 beers over the course of a game. They would tell ribald stories. Part of me was nostalgic for when media was a little less polished.
Right.
But what do you think? Like, or should...
But part of you was happy we don't have to put up with that crap anymore.
And also, coming home after drinking 6 beers at work, probably not the best thing for these families. So what are your thoughts on this bygone era? Should we keep it bygone? Or...
Well, I think a lot of those guys, certainly famously guys like Harry Carey or some other guys, beer was a big part of the game. Pretty openly. You know, we famously in the 70s, Cosell actually got in a little bit of trouble sometimes for getting a little too loose on the air from alcohol.
Mm.
And, you know, and look, Brockmire is absolutely an alcoholic, drug addict, sex addict. And it's what got him in trouble on the air.
Yeah. He's
still dealing with it.
Watching this show, I mean, we haven't seen drinking like this on television since the Mad Men.
You know, one of the interesting things to me about this project, we did it as a Funny or Die short like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, I was just looking for the comedy to make sense. And what made sense for a guy to lose it this bad on the air was that he was just completely wasted.
Yeah.
And a lot of, as we just said, these old school guys drank a lot.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have to burp. But I'm only drinking coffee, I promise.
Can you do someone else's burp? You're Hank Azaria.
that was George Carlin burping. That's
my
homage.
I was going to call that.
Yeah, did you catch it?
Nice work.
Thanks. So... drinking and being drunk became endemic to the character.
Yeah.
And here's where I have to credit Joel Church Cooper, the guy who wrote most of the episodes and head wrote the entire thing. When I turned it over to Joel, he kind of saw in it this alcoholic realism, this deep sadness and tragedy to the guy. This man is a symbol of what was wrong and right with America gone by that baseball tends to symbolize.
Yeah.
And in the same way that baseball is having a difficult time to translate itself into the modern era and keep kids interested, and Brockmire, he's unaware of the internet, you know,
completely.
As he says, if I want porn, I'll buy a nudie mag like my father and his father before him. So all of that is Joel.
He found the pathos around this character.
I was shocked.
Yeah. So someone videotapes him melting down.
Yeah.
It goes onto the internet. And he becomes a verb to Brockmire is to like lose your mind. And then he has to wrestle between the public self and his real self. People want him to Brockmire,
right?
You're a public actor. that's redundant. You know, but you're a public figure.
Well, not always. You Sometimes know, you're quite a private actor. But it's the old joke. You're an actor. Oh, really? What restaurant? Us actors hear that a lot.
How do you navigate the public self and the private self? People have expectations when they see you on the street.
Can I curse?
Sure.
Okay. My shrink, who I used to go to a lot, who's a brilliant man, Phil Stutz, who I've talked about before, who talks like this, Phil Stutz. I talked about him a lot on Marc Maron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he calls that exchange in the street that you're describing with actors, he calls that the double you. The first you is somebody wants something from you. The second you is just not even you they really want it from. It's whatever idea they have of you.
Yeah.
But and his description of it is, you know, our job as actors is to have people project stuff on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of enact that. And it might be quite close to who we actually are. It might be wildly different.
As a voice actor, there was probably a point where you were famous, but people didn't recognize you.
You know, there's a larger point to that. Besides being, yes, I'm famous for a voice actor, and that makes you edgy. Like, you know, I do other things, or I'm an actor, too. But there certainly was a time when, you know, Mo and Apu and Chief Wiggum were much more famous than I was. They probably still are.
Mm.
And I sort of felt the need to point that out. But, you know, I was, you know, my voices were famous. I wasn't, which is weird.
Mm.
I'm a character actor, so people know me, but they don't know from where, which makes protracted, strange exchanges. Not just like,
interesting.
What movie are you in? But like, I know you. Do you go to Ohio State or... Are you in the, I've literally been asked all these questions, frankly. Are you in the upholstery cleaning business?
No.
Oh, totally. So that kind of bruises your ego, too. And you're like, now you're like, what kind of freak am I? I'm like, how are they supposed to know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm getting touchy about this. Or I even love your comedy. I love your comedy. It's like, you know, I do dramatic work as well, young man.
Exactly.
Or whatever kind of freak you're starting to become. Fame will, you know... Hollywood and fame is like your crazy drunken uncle. It will love you in one moment and then swat you in the next. Everybody. Nobody's immune from that. It's going to mess with you.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to stare this demon down.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
I wish that for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I look forward to you squaring off against that demon like Luke Skywalker versus his own Darth Vader in that weird cave that Yoda sent him into.
Well, look, we have two standard questions we ask in our show. And the first question is, what question... do you not like being asked? Are you tired of being asked in interviews?
You know what I get tired of being asked?
What's that?
Where do you get, what are the origins of these voices? Not just Brockmire, but Simpsons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, where do these voices come from? It's something that I've been talking about for like 25 years.
Uh-huh.
And I almost feel bad, like, my God, am I repeating myself? Like,
yeah.
Really? But, you know, it's another narcissistic actor thing. Probably not everybody's up to the minute on every single interview I've ever given, so it's probably news to them. But yeah, I guess that one I get a little tired of.
All right. Well, our second standard question is, tell us something we don't know, and this is something you haven't shared in interviews before. It can be an interesting personal fact or an interesting piece of trivia about the world.
Wow. I've heard you ask. You think I would have prepared better because I've heard the show. I've heard you ask these questions before.
I could feed you. There's something I found interesting in your bio, so you clearly have mentioned it, but I'd never heard of it.
What?
Which is the fact that growing up, you spoke the Ladino language?
No, but that's disinformation. That's fake news.
Oh, all right.
My parents did. They're both fluent, but not me.
I just had never heard of Ladino, which is a hybrid of Spanish and Hebrew.
That is interesting. Most Jews in America are Ashkenazi Jews, Eastern European Jews. Mm-hmm. Their dialect is Yiddish. Sephardic Jews are Spanish Jews. These are the Jews that left Spain in 1492 in the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
When the Catholics said, you know what, either convert or get the hell out of here or die.
Yeah.
Dying's a definite option. And my family went to Greece, Salonika, Greece, for 500 years before they all came over to America. And yes, Spanish was the home dialect. And if you listen to it, it sounds like Spanish.
Okay.
It's written in Hebrew characters. It's written from right to left in Hebrew characters. It's a very strange language. Yeah, I guess that's pretty interesting.
Can you give me, and we'll close with this, a Brockmire line said in...
In Ladino?
Yeah.
Well, before I Brockmire it, my mom and her contemporaries, they got a big kick out of expressions that were strange. For example, Jabba Juba. Jabba Juba. It's not an expression, but it literally translates, forget the house coat. Forget about the house coat.
Huh.
But they just found it hilarious that Jabba Juba would be something that you could actually say.
Yeah, it sounds
so
like a
Brackmeyer
character.
So Brackmeyer could say, hey, the fourth inning is brought to you by Jabba Juba. Folks, if you're going to forget your house coat, why don't you forget it with Jabba Juba brand house coats? Actually, sounds kind of Yoda-esque.
Yeah.
Jabba Juba. My Yoda's pretty rough.
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt. That's why, because Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jedi.
Hank Azaria as Jabba the Hutt, Yoda, and Brockmeyer.
Yeah.
The latter is the main character in the TV show of the same name. It launches this week on IFC. You should definitely check it out. Mm. And Rico, playing behind us, is some Ladino music.
It's beautiful. This isn't Hank singing it, though, is it?
I mean, it could be, right?
You never know with that guy. People, we had to edit some great bits out of that chat, unfortunately, but we will be airing them soon on a special podcast-only bonus episode. Make sure to catch it. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your app of choice.